This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I hope.
You know what's
not
cool, Jared, is Luke Jackson blowing another game late.
Oh, this is him trying to change the subject now.
And well, no, it's just I want to know. This is a dead serious. This is something we were talking about earlier today. Luke Jackson, obviously, I'm not going to pick on it like in to some ridiculous extent. But why wasn't Kirby Yates more of a focus for them this offseason?
I think they had some financial constraints that they said, and Kirby Yates was outside of that.
David Robertson, is it more of a situation with him where if he wanted to be on a team, he would be on one, he just wants to retire?
I think he is just being really selective, and he set a financial bar and wasn't going to go below that because obviously there's no way someone who performed the way he performed last year wouldn't be playing. If he wanted to retire, then I think he would have just outright retired, but I think he had a select few teams that made sense to him. He lives up in Maine or New Hampshire, I forget which one, or Delaware, I don't know, somewhere up in the Northeast. I'm guessing that he probably wanted to stay closer to home and wasn't going to pitch for any, you know, any penny below whatever he felt like his value was. And obviously teams weren't willing to meet him there, or at least not, they haven't been yet.
Jared Sandler joins us here, 105 The Fan. Bobby used the term maddening earlier about, like, the Rangers' offense. It's maddening. They're getting a lot of hits. They're just not getting guys over. They're still a competitive team. They're still a good team. I still think that they are a team that is going to compete for the AL West. But is that the word you would use to describe this team 30 games in? Because it's about the time where you can make judgments and assessments on the team.
Yeah, frustrating, maddening. I mean, a night like last night, for sure. I mean, it's 1-1. You get a great pitching performance from Nathan Eovaldi, who just can't get any run support whatsoever to save his life. I mean, hell, you know, he's won a couple of games. He won 1-0 and won another one, you know, against San Francisco that ended with a final score of 2-0. And, you know, he allowed a run on a bunt hit. I mean, credit Jacob Wilson. That was a nicely executed bunt that, drove in the only Athletics run. Wilson will hit the ball on the ground sometimes, so probably was doing that in part to stay out of a double play that could have ended the inning. Had he played into however Eovaldi was going to attack him, which I'm sure in that situation was to try and get him to do just that. And that's all the damage he gave up. I mean, he was outstanding. And I don't know which is more frustrating. Like if we would have looked back and it's like, man, they only had four hits.
Right.
Like they could have. But, you know, they had plenty of opportunities. They had 11 at-bats with runners in scoring position. And Dolis' single in the fourth was the only hit. They had a couple of hard-hit balls. Jacob Wilson made a diving play on a Jock Peterson ball up the middle that looked like it was going to squirt through for an RBI hit. And then in the eighth, Adolis Garcia hit a line drive to the right side, and Nick Kurtz made a diving play. But, you know, at the end of the day, it shouldn't come down to that, right? You know, they had these opportunities. Now, it's good they're getting the opportunities. They're not a just totally dysfunctional, you know, group that's not getting on base, not doing anything here of late. They are starting to turn a corner there. But the control of the strike zone's got to be better, especially, you know, as the game went on, it looked like they started to expand a bit. And, they need to start scoring runs. They need to start taking advantage of the fact that they've got, you know, one of the best pitching staffs they've had in a long time. This division's there for the taking, obviously, but it's not going to be a cakewalk. And I think that, you know, with the way the Mariners are playing this year so far, it kind of is giving you an idea that you know, they might be the team to beat because they're pitching well, but they're also performing a lot better offensively than they have in recent years. And that's a tough combo to overtake, but the Rangers have the pitching to go toe to toe with the Mariners right now, but they need the lineup to do the same.
Jared Sandler joining us here on 105 through the Fan. Jared, you mentioned Jock Peterson there. I know obviously he broke the hitless streak, but are you starting to see more than just that it's looking closer to he's potentially going to start turning a corner as he's, what, 5 of his last 15, and it looks like he's hitting the ball a lot harder?
Yeah, I mean, he had 3 balls at 100 miles an hour yesterday. You know, he wasn't doing that, when he was in that 0 for 41 or whatever it ended up as. And then, you know, one of the balls that he didn't hit 100 miles an hour was hit like in the mid-90s up the middle, and it was that diving play I alluded to earlier made by Jacob Wilson that saved a run. So it just looks like his at-bats are a lot more competitive. And, you know, he's important to this lineup, not because, you know, he's got the ability to be a middle-of-the-order presence in terms of his production, but, you know, he's someone who will take pitches. He's someone who will draw walks and just kind of change up the calculus of, you know, what is largely an aggressive group. So, you know, when he's going well, or just going normally, he's going to help not just in whatever his box score production is, but just a guy who has a little bit of a different identity at the plate than, you know, what most of the lineup has, which is, like I said, a really aggressive group.
How long are you keeping Wyatt at the leadoff?
Yeah, I mean, I like him there. If it's not going to be Marcus Semien, that's who I want leading off. Now, maybe against righties, they start to consider Josh Smith again. I don't know. But I want Wyatt leading off. I like his power speed combo there. I like the idea that he's going to get, you know, that extra plate appearance, every few games. There's data that suggests that, you know, no matter how you put your lineup together, as long as you have your 9 best out there. But I don't, you know, that's one of those things where I don't know that it tells the full story and accounts for some of the intangibles. And I just think having Wyatt leading off, can have a big impact. Now, you know, if Marcus Semien was performing like he did 2 years ago, then totally cool with Marcus leading off and having Wyatt hitting behind Corey and offering protection. But, that hasn't been the case so far, unfortunately, for Marcus. And so, I love the idea when Corey Seager comes back, hopefully on Saturday, that you go Wyatt, Corey to start games off. And, you put your 2 best feet forward and go from there.
All right, so explain this to me, because we had always heard like that the numbers say your best hitter should hit 2 hole or whatever, like that things have changed. What is the new info that's out about just your best 9 out there?
Well, yeah, it's not totally new. There have been studies in the past. I think one that says that putting your optimum lineup out there for 162 games accounts for 10 runs of difference, which equates to maybe 1 win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I totally buy that. The most important spot in the order is, like you said, the 2 hole. And I know we used to think it was the 3 hole, but some of this data suggests that the 3 hole is actually the 5th most important spot. And one of the reasons why is because the 3 hole comes up a lot of times with 2 outs and nobody on. And that's not, an advantageous run-creating spot, whereas the 2 hole is going to come up more often than not, not with 2 outs necessarily, because their first at-bat is guaranteed to be with less than 2 outs, and possibly with a runner on. I think it goes, 2-1, and then I think the 5 hole is actually the third most important spot, or I think it's like 2-1-5-4, 2-1-4-5, and then you get to the 3 hole.
Wow.
And then 6-7-8-9, I think is what some of the data shows. Now, again, it's one of those things where I think that maybe more often than not, that's how maybe you structure your lineup, but there are other things that go into play, right? Righty-lefty matchups and how you present your lineup so that another team can or can't structure advantageous spots for them from a late inning situation with the bullpen. And then, how you blend speed and power, right? You don't want, maybe your best hitter hits 2 and then your second best hitter is a leadoff guy. But what if your second best hitter, is a station to station base runner? I mean, I think there are intangibles that you got to consider here, or I guess those would be tangibles. But I think in generally speaking, you typically put your best hitter second, and that's why you're seeing guys like Corey Seager hit second, and why you know, while before Wyatt moved to the leadoff spot, why he was hitting second.
Jared Sandlin joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. So, Jared, I saw Bochy had said yesterday the expectation Seager's going to be able to come back off the IL this weekend and will not need a rehab assignment. So everything seems full go there heading into next week?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's the plan. So hopefully we see him back in the lineup Saturday. You know, he's kind of a hitting machine, and he's done this before where he hasn't had a rehab assignment. He has done it a couple times, but I want to say, you know, he might have missed like 4 weeks back in 2023 or something, no rehab assignment, and came back and doubled in his first at bat. So he's unlike most. He's a 100th percentile type hitter, and you know, I think that the good thing, Bobby, I think one reason why, you know, it's only 10 days, and I think he's for the most part been able to be active with his swing prep, you know, because it's a hamstring thing. He obviously hasn't been able to be full go, otherwise he'd be out there, but I think he's been able to stay comfortable with, you know, most of his daily routine as far as his swing, and I think that's probably why he feels comfortable getting back in there without a rehab. And I think the other thing too is, you know, Corey, as we've learned, you know, he's not the most vocal guy. He's not going to go out and say things that, you know, allow you to get this sense necessarily, but he is about as competitive of a guy as there is in that clubhouse. And I think he sees what's going on. You know, I think he sees that this lineup is scuffling, and I think he wants to get back there as soon as possible to try to do his part and help things out. And it would be great to get Wyatt and Corey in there together. You know, the Baseball's Prospectus has their own weighted runs created plus type stat, which, you know, for those who aren't familiar with weighted runs created plus, it's kind of an attempted catch-all offensive stat that simply tries to equate what the stat says, you know, a player's ability to create runs. And the Rangers are the only team that had two guys in the top 15, Corey Seager and Wyatt Langford. But unfortunately, those guys just haven't spent a lot of time in the lineup together. So hopefully you get Corey back. Those two can stay healthy and see where this lineup goes.
Anything else going on today, Jared?
No, we're doing something after the game that I guess if you guys don't mind, I'll tease ahead. One of the things that you know we thought would be fun to do is have, you know, a Pat McAfee does his little kicking thing on game day. Well, we're on our version of Rangers game day. We're going to bring some fan challenges throughout the year, give them opportunities to win things.
Oh, cool.
They can pull off some. Pull off some baseball feats, and so we're going to shoot one of those after the game here today. It will air tomorrow, and we're going to have a little bit of a home run derby, see if the fans can hit a ball out of the park. And I think they've got some cool things on the line if they're able to do it, and so I'm really excited. I'm going to actually be behind the plate for that. They're going to gear me up.
Dude.
They asked me my cup size. I told them, I reminded them I'm a nice little, you know, young Jewish boy.
But you're a lefty though, right? You throw lefty, don't you?
I throw lefty. So, I mean, I'm not going to be catching 100.
Right.
It's going to be a machine. And hopefully these people can at least just make contact. Don't have to worry about it. I've got a glove, but you're right. I don't have a catcher's mitt, but that's okay. We'll drop and block without it.
There we go, baby.
My hand is all bruised up. I mean, come on. I'm from the RJ Choppy School of Broadcasting. I'm just going to show up and do work, and then maybe, you know, go on a 2 week vacation. And
there we go.
Maybe not prep one day, but that's what the RJ Choppy School of Broadcasting right. teaches me. And I'm just going to show up and be a winner.
I think we were talking more about this, Jared.
That's right. It is his birthday.
It's the birthday boy, and he's going to be spending, like, he's going to go to the game, then he's going to do home run derby after. When are you going to fit in time for cake?
I don't know. Hopefully some pizza tonight. I'm lactose intolerant now, unfortunately, so I have to pick my spots with pizza, but I'm looking forward to a nice pizza and then a date on the, you know, in the bathroom afterwards, just because that's kind of how it goes in my life now. Hopefully get a Rangers win. I don't know what it's like. Do either of you guys have summer or baseball season birthdays? Well, when are your birthdays?
June. September. So, yeah, baseball.
Okay. I mean, for me, it was like the first thing I'd look at when the Rangers schedule came out, do they play on my birthday? Who do they play?
Yep.
And I just was always looking forward to hopefully Juan Gonzalez hitting a home run on my birthday. And, you know, it'd just be nice if anyone hit a home run for the Rangers. They haven't hit a home run since last Thursday. It's been almost a week. So if they can go yard today, then I'll be happy and maybe get a W.
Happy birthday, brother. Talk to you later.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Bye, Jared. Love
Jared Sandler, Rangers insider. He is not a fan. Boy, he is not happy with you. And I don't blame him.
When did you become such a cancel aware?
I'm not cancel baby. Aware, okay? It's respect.
I'll tell you what's coming up next. I'm going to do 15 minutes of Jenny Kavner impressions. And then after time for the Cowboys to give up on this player? That's next in Below the Belt right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.